This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today you are in for a treat. I have a very special guest, and you guys know that I don't have a whole lot of guests on Vintage because I am very selective, and it's not often that I can pray with my guests before I bring him on, and I was blessed to be able to do that today. And my guest is the executive producer of Heirloom Audio, and his name is Bill Hyde. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, Felice. Thank you for having me.
Well, I am excited to share what you have been doing. Truthfully, I didn't, was not aware of this awesome set that we're going to be sharing with our listeners today. And by way of total disclosure, Bill is a sponsor for Vintage Homeschool Mom, so we appreciate that. And our sponsors are the ones that keep us on the air. So I hope that you will check out Family Audio Adventures, and we've got a very special bonus for you, a little link that is going to be in this podcast, and you can find it and the show notes on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. So, Bill, you obviously have had a path to becoming an executive producer, and it's quite an interesting story dealing with a moose, a rotator cuff, and flatlining. Can you share a little bit about that with the listener?
Sure. It's an unusual story, and I'll start out by telling you that even as a little boy, that I've always been fascinated by stories and by history, and I've always wanted to know what came before. And I remember as a young man always being interested for some reason in our founding fathers. I thought, how did God make a group of people like this? Not that they were the only amazing group of people in the world, but I've always been fascinated by people like Patrick Henry and his ability to draw a line and his ability to, as an orator and as an elocutionist and so forth. So, you know, that's kind of a backdrop that I've just always loved history, and I've always tried to inculcate that into my kids as well. We spent time learning family history and local history and state history, as well as not just the kind of textbooks things you would get in a public school, which in some ways can be very damaging, just, you know, short chunks. This is what it is, and everyone learns the same short chunk. And so I'm a young man. I get married just like a lot of people listening to this, right? You get married, you have a family, and you realize that God has entrusted you with something, and you look at these verses in Ephesians and other places, and you realize that you are supposed to bring these kids up in the way that they should go. And the thing is, we're not always real self-conscious about that. And I try to do my best, like a lot of parents do. And like I said, I spent a lot of time trying to ground my kids into you know, the epistemology of Christianity. How do we know about things we know about, and ethics and all that? But my kids forward, ended up having kids, which is kind of another biological thing that a lot of us are familiar with. And I had a little time to start thinking about just, you know, things that are important. And I've always had this historical backdrop in my head. But one time I was taking my son, Matt, out to college, and he went to a college called New St. Andrews out in Idaho. And we always went by Glacier Park every year, and I always drove him out there because I love the drive. It's really about 3 days from here, really, to get out to Idaho where he went to school. But we'd always go by Glacier Park up on 90. We'd always hike. One time we went on a hike. My dad was along, and my dad was 70, and Matt was, I believe, a junior there at the school. And we went on a hike, and I'll make it kind of quick. We actually, in hiking, I was taking a picture of a bull moose. I went down by a lake up in the mountains, and we were about 3-4 miles away from our base camp and went down by a lake to take some good pictures of this old lazy bull moose in the middle of this lake, minding his own business, and I was minding mine. And all of a sudden, I looked out of the corner of my eye, and I saw something very different. I saw a female moose. And first she was walking towards me, Felice, and then she started to trot towards me. I actually was taking pictures of it, and I have pictures of all this. I'm nutty. My dad's a professional photographer, and so I want some great shots. And so, and I grew up on a farm, so I'm used to livestock, right? And so I kind of was just in a little bit of a fantasy world for a while. And so it's click, 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 and I realized at some point she's going to roll me over, right? And so I got out of there, and she must have had a calf or something. I don't know. I never did find the calf. But she chased me around in my dad and my son for about an hour and 45 minutes. And she literally tried to kill me. And
oh my gosh.
In all the hustle and bustle, and out there there's not a lot of deciduous trees. There's mostly these pines. And I tried to get up a pine, and I kind of messed my shoulder up a little bit. I didn't think it was anything big. By the time I got back home, my shoulder had ached, and I realized I probably should do something about it. I usually tried to do some bench presses to straighten out my shoulder a little bit with some light weights. And something popped when I did the bench pressing thing. Next thing you know, I call the doctor. I'm in the hospital, and I have rotator cuff surgery. And in recovery, the nurse comes in, checks me out. This is later at night. My wife's gone. All my guests are gone and everything. And I'm just laying there with the morphine bulb in my hand. And I fall asleep, and the nurse came in to check me. I'm okay. She leaves her stethoscope in there and goes on to do her rounds. Well, she forgot her stethoscope. She came back. She saw me out, and out meaning flatlined. And so she called the emergency team up, and everybody spent a lot of time trying to get me back alive again, which they did. And so it was at that point, I have to say, that when I got out of the hospital, I started to think of, after all, I went through all of this episode from the most onward, like, somehow God reminded me just how precious life is and just how fragile the world we live in, and just we're so close to not being here. And I'd been given some bonus time, both with the moose. I could have easily been killed. At times in the chase, I was within just a few feet of the moose. And I actually found out they kill more people than grizzly bears in wow. these parks. And so they're very territorial, I guess, and I didn't realize, like I said, there was a female there. I probably wouldn't have went down there if I knew a female had a calf. But anyway, God has given me some bonus time, right, very, very graciously. And it ends up, in my view, that kind of facing death in this way ends up kind of being a very, very much like a fertilizer for living life a little bit better and realizing that my life here is finite. I'm a finite creature. I've got some work to do. Just what is it? And I think that whole experience, really, instead of being a tragedy, ends up being like the Christian world is, as you know, right? Our tragedies, our greatest defeats are our greatest successes and victories, right. Just like Christ's. And I think it ends up being a spiritual launch pad for me. So at that time, shortly after that, I really decided that I wanted to make a difference. I said, it's time. No more procrastination. No more lethargy. No more lukewarm stuff. Right? It's time to get things in gear and start thinking about my life in a little bit different ways. And so I started asking, really, three questions. What's the most important thing? Who are the most important people? And what in the world should I do about the first two? And so I love history, and I know that the next generation that's our grandkids, your grandchildren, my grandchildren, and our listeners' grandchildren and children, that generation really needs some help in terms of great heroes, great stories, great history. We need to teach them where we've come from, who we are and where we've come from, who are we as a Christian people. And so for me, that's what I wanted to focus on, harness my energies towards. How could I be of service to others? Being chased really in the light of, in some ways, just being chased right through death's door by a moose, coming back out with the project.
And that's amazing, because sometimes God has to, you know, I say the harder you're hit, you know, it seems like it made you stop and think. Because a lot of times we just tell the Lord, you know, yeah, that's a great idea, Lord, but I just don't have the time. and then we find ourselves in these situations, you know, where we are, we have the time, whether or not we want it or not, to be able to sit there and think. And that's not often, right, Bill, that you have that time. So praise God, you know, He uses all things for good and, you know, for those who love Him. And obviously you do. So you came up with this idea of this audio series, and I know just from running the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, you know, and this show in particular, how much production time takes and so forth. So you really feel like, you know, this is a worthwhile endeavor. You wouldn't be spending the time doing it. But why is it so important, especially for Christian families, that they – you know, take a look at your series?
Well, I think we're really, there's a couple reasons that I think we're kind of on the brink in America and American families in some sense. All you got to do is look at the headlines and you know that that's the case. We're in a world of very fractured relationships. We're in a world where our kids get way too much TV and really they have all kinds of problems as a result of that. And I think just the way culture is, it's like a slow immersion, right? A frog in this ever increasing pot or pan. And we're really at a place where we got to step back, I feel, and look at both how we teach, what are the lessons that we teach our kids, and how do we teach them? And I'll tell you, one of the motivations for creating these audio adventures were these books from G.A. Henty. When my other son, Nick, was young, I gave him these historical books. Henty was a Victorian, a novel writer. He wrote over 122 books, a very, very, very precocious writer, and they all were the assumption that Christianity was the right belief system, and if you were a Christian, you weren't afraid of adventure, you weren't afraid of living life to its fullest, because he had this very providential view that God always had your back, and all of his stories kind of were like that. But when I would give my son Nick these books, I would tell him, you know, go to bed, and then but I would notice that there would be a light back on after I told him to go to bed, and I was like, he'd get a flashlight out and would be reading these books even after I told him not to. And so, you know, some of that as a parent, sort of annoying, right?
I think your son knows my son, and we actually have part of a Henty and leather bound. So you're talking.
Yeah.
somebody who knows.
So a flashlight reading Henty, and I knew these books were great. And at the same time, I met a couple fellows that had worked for Adventures in Odyssey and were out of work because they had changed how they did business. And I thought, well, how can we take these books and bring these to life? So I wanted to take modern families. What a modern family and say, look, can we take you away from this existential, fast-moving, highly image-oriented culture? Can we take you back into the world of the past? And can we just have some fun with storytelling, with some great adventures, with some great heroes, and just great storylines, and talk about things that actually happened in history and do it through this historical narrative? So that was the game plan, and I just wanted to be able to give families a little bit of the same thing that Nick had and make it in a little more of a plug-and-play form that people could get their hands around and that it would be easy for them. And then, of course, we brought great actors and actresses in to help us tell those stories, as you know. And so we spend a lot of time on our scripts. We have to do a lot of adaptations to take a, you know, 300-400-page book and make it into a two-hour theater of the mind production, if you will, an audio adventure. So those are some of the challenges involved. But families today really need to step back and think, not just in homeschoolers, not just do we homeschool, but what is it that we're teaching? What's the methodology that we're teaching? How does that affect a child's brain? How does that affect a child's ability to take in information and process that information? You know, when we show a movie, if Steven Spielberg or George Lucas or somebody, Philippe, does all that imagination work for you, that heavy lifting, that is taking an idea or a concept that you either read or hear in our case, and they tell you what you're supposed to see in the theater of your mind, what happens to your brain? Your brain gets flabby, or your brain doesn't develop because someone's told you what something has to look like. you listen to that same story, like in our case, if you hear a cannonball whizzing by your head, or if you realize that there's someone goes overboard on one of Sir Francis Drake's ships and there's a shark in the water and you hear these noises and you have to process and put all of these things together, that actually builds a very different type of brain than just simply watching movies, stories, cartoons, TV, whatever it is, all of the time. And so we're very conscious about the fact that TV does something more than just imbibe a kind of contemporary culture moral sensibilities, which you and I probably would object to. But there's more to it than that. And so it's methodological, it's systemic, and it actually affects the way the brain develops.
Right. And there's all of these games and that kind of thing for brain training. And this is, I will tell you, wonderful. And that's one of the reasons that moms love the CDs, especially now that we can, you know, just pop them in our car or players and allow the kids to listen. And my favorite is that we can count it as school, because I'm getting ahead of myself, but you've got stuff that goes with it. And we haven't even started talking about the kit yet. But we are going to take a really short commercial break. And when we come back, you're going to explain to us how an audio adventure is different than audiobooks and even some other audio dramas, like one of our favorites, which is Adventures in Odyssey. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Felice here with a quick product review for Vintage Homeschool Mom listeners. If you're looking for a great audio the whole family can listen to while on the road or at home, you're going to love this. There's a new audio adventure series available that tells great stories from Christian history, and it's designed to build character, courage, and imagination in your kids. Here's the story. Some of the folks that used to be part of Adventures in Odyssey have created this new series to help families not only to enjoy Christian history, but to really go deep into our Christian heritage. The production values are outstanding, and it definitely gets 5 stars from me. It's a great way to turn ordinary drive time or home time into family fun and adventure time. So, you want to learn more? Go to familyaudioadventures.com. That's familyaudioadventures.com, and I have a special coupon code. You can use vintage at the shopping cart so you can get it for half price. That's familyaudioadventures.com. I hope you check it out.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage Homeschool Moms, and this is episode 153. You can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And don't forget to use that code VINTAGE when you are over at familyaudioadventures.com to get your discount. And so with me on the line has been a wonderful guest, and that's Bill High, the executive producer of Heirloom Audio. And Bill, before we went to break, you were going to share with us how this audio adventure series that you have is different than audiobooks and even other audio dramas like Adventures in Odyssey.
Sure. I think one of the things that I wanted to do is I grew up listening to things, and so I'm a big fan of audio, and I like listening to books on tape. I think that's just a lot of fun for me. I guess I've learned to pay close attention to things, and I don't need a lot of bells and whistles. I consider them distractions in some cases. But I love a good story, and I think what I wanted to do, and how I wanted to make this different, is I wanted to be a little bit bigger in scope than maybe Adventures in Odyssey. My kids certainly grew up on that as well. But what I wanted to do is have a major theme, just like a movie. And so what you see in our stories are movies for the mind. It's the theater of the mind. And that means that you've got a full script with a full story. We bring lots of great actors and actresses. We can talk about them in a little bit, you know, why we did that and how we can get that quality of actor or actress to come in. And gals like Joanne Froggatt from Downton Abbey, for example, how do you talk her into doing a story? And, you know, just things like that, what brings people in. But we also wanted to make sure that we had this really wonderful storyline. So the scripts are important, and I would say music is very important. Music's important for a story, and so we have Emmy Award-winning composer John Campbell write original scores for each story, and also when someone buys one of our stories, they also get the score. And sometimes folks just listen, they get that for free as a bonus. Sometimes people just listen to the score because it's period music. And so if you want to put yourself into a period, you can just listen to this music. And it's interesting. You play the story, you know, your kids will listen to the story, they listen to the story. Then you just put on the music, you can almost have your kids recite parts from the story by just replaying the songs and the compositions from the story, because that'll put them right back into the place. And that tells you, for example, I think King David knew this, it tells you how important song and music is for memory. So you can do interesting experiments with your kids. Like I said, just go let them listen to one of our stories and then go back and pick on one of the soundtracks and pick a little part of that story and just play it, and they'll recite the parts for you. Right. It's fascinating, to be honest. And so it is very different in that sense, because we've tried to create this big multicasting sense, our Foley and sound design. I think when we did this, our first story, which was the story about Sir Francis Drake, one of my personal heroes, first English captain to circumnavigate the globe. We had a shark scene in there, and I'd mentioned that earlier. I think it's the first audio done Foley shark scene ever done just for the ears, so that you have to process it that way. And so the behind the scenes Foley stuff makes it very, very different as well. The storylines are very different. The music's very different. And it really is a full length movie for the mind.
Wow. And it is. And, you know, and that's the thing when you, when I was reading about the series and I see Adventures in Odyssey, and I'm thinking, yeah, let's see if it's really that good, because that held a very high bar for many of us that, you know, not only did our kids grow up listening to it, but we in essence did, because we listened with our kids, right? How many of us didn't have any access to the radio in our cars because we played those because they were good? And, you know, it appealed to different ages. Well, when I put this set in and I received a box of audios, and I was just blown away by how beautiful it was when I opened it. I was really excited, and I was leaving to take my daughter to college right before I left. The box came, and I was really sad because I couldn't just, you know, delve into it. And so when I did, I was, you know, blown away by the musical score. It is like a movie production. It is like a movie production. It's just gorgeous. So whatever, you know, whenever you do listen to that, you will really appreciate it. And also, the quality of the track was phenomenal. So just really, you hit it out of the ballpark. Bill, you must be very proud being the executive producer of this, to put your name on this.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I am proud. I mean, I'm happy with being able to use the resources God has given us. And we had mentioned humble boldness in our prayer before we started. And I think that's the key to a lot of success. And what you'll find in our heroes, and we have heroes, right? This is old-fashioned storytelling.
Right.
And our heroes have flaws. Our heroes aren't perfect, but they're still heroes. And what you'll find is all of our heroes have two things. They're humble because they know that they don't decide outcomes. And if you listen to With Lee and Virginia, you'll find that both Robert E. Lee as well as Stonewall Jackson love this axiom, duty is ours, consequences are God's, right? That's just a good thing to teach your kids, because you don't always win. Well, the Olympics have passed through this summer, and so we know that there's a lot of training. Football season's taking place right now, right? There's a lot of training. You don't always win, and sometimes you lose. Robert E. Lee had to hand his sword over to a lesser man, General Grant, who lives just a stone's throw from where I'm sitting right now. And how did he handle that? He handled it with grace, and that's what we're trying to build up with these stories is, How do you handle winning with grace? How do you handle losing with grace? How do you handle life in general with grace? And so who are the metaphors? And it's hard to pick metaphors today, or heroes or characters, you know, sports metaphors or singing metaphors. And I'm thinking of, you know, some bad ones in maybe some athletes and maybe some singers that you wouldn't want your kid to be like. But
right.
Believe me, you'd like your son or daughter to have the same attributes that Robert E. Lee had and that King Alfred had. And just being able to take a stand in grace, and like Martin Luther, say, "Here I stand, I can do no other." And I think that's what we need to build in our kids. And it's just even having the opportunity, Felice, to be able to talk to you about this stuff, I get excited about it, because just being in a position to help parents, for me, it's goosebumps time. I love it. I love talking about it. I love talking about Christian history, because I love talking about what God has done for us.
Right. And to us, you know, as homeschool parents, this is such a help, because it is very, very difficult. You know, our kids often get gift certificates to the local bookstore. You know, I'm not going to mention the name because you probably would know. And we walk in and walk out, and we walk in. And I remember one year my kids were like, "Can we just buy bookmarks?" Because there wasn't anything appropriate that they could basically read, you know. And so when you have a quality series that not only, you know, puts God first and has such a wonderful storyline, I mean, if your kids haven't read G.A. Henty, you should check those out. We purchased those years ago in my homeschool journey. But what I love about these audios is when I flip the back and it says ages 6 through adult. And I will tell you, my younger grandkids can sit through audios because they've been trained since birth almost of riding in the car and listening to audios, you know, their whole lives. And so they love this kind of thing. So it does have a wide appeal. But I'm looking at you know, Lee in Virginia right now, and I'm looking at the back of the cover, and I'm looking at who your voices are, your characters and in the story, and I'm just blown away. So how did you get such big names like Kirk Cameron and Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings and Mom's Night Out, and you know, and a few others, Chris Anthony from Adventures in Odyssey, Brian Blessed from Star Wars, Tarzan and King Lear, you know, and so on. So how did you get these people, you know, how did you pitch this to them?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think here's what happens with Christian programs and Christian, you know, media projects today. Some Christian stuff is done, and I won't mention names, but I think some of it's done in a little bit of a cheesy way. So I think it starts out with a little bit of a commitment to really what you would call a high standard. So mm-hmm. you people want to be involved in great things, and that high standard takes you quite a ways. We both have apprehensions about Disney. I think Disney posits an alternative worldview, and I might step on some toes but by saying that I think Disney doesn't offer a creator. I think Disney offers different ethical standards than what we want our kids to have and so forth. And so Disney is a little scary, but we've had customers tell us that, you know, you're Disney for the years and so forth. And let me tell you this quick story, because this is fun. You never know who your customers are. And a lot of times we'll call our customers up and ask our customers what they think of our one of the productions, Felice. And so I had one of my guys, Aaron or his wife Tabby, I think, was making calls, and they stumbled upon a gal who had purchased one of our stories, and a conversation ensued. And here's who this person was. Just so your audience knows the kind of people that are homeschooling in the state these days. This gal was one of the Imagineers that designed Disney Tokyo.
Wow.
She made a decision to pull back and homeschool her kids. And she bought our stuff and said, "You guys are, you know, I'm reluctant to say this because it sounds like I'm pounding my own chest, but I'll just tell you what she said. You guys were like Disney." your commitment to your art, your commitment to excellence in your storyline, your commitment to your Foley and your sound and your music. And she was blown away, and she was the one that kind of put that thought in my head. She said, you've got standards like Disney has. So I was very, very excited to hear that from her, on top of the fact that I love running into people of who have awesome job responsibilities who end up saying, I'm not going to pursue this anymore. Something's convicting me, and I'm going to be a mom, and I'm going to be a quality mom the same way I was a quality Imagineer for Disney, and I'm going to pull back and be this other person. So fascinating conversation from a fascinating gal who made a great decision to homeschool her kids.
And that's so great. So did you approach some of these people? Did you know them? I mean, how did you, like, for example, Kirk Cameron, is this someone that you knew that you could get on this audio?
Kirk Cameron's an interesting story because Kirk and I have become friends since then. But one day, one of the gals in our office, we were sitting at the conference table, and my assistant Hannah said, "Hey, Bill, Kirk Cameron just ordered one of our stories." And so I said, "Wow, that's pretty cool." And I gave him some time, and then we approached him. We tried to get through him to his agent and so forth, and we ended up connecting with him, and it turned out Kirk was very excited about our products and what we were trying to accomplish, and so he was an eager yes to that. And not only was Kirk an eager yes, but what we wanted to do, because we love it when families do things together, and I told you earlier too that I'm very interested in having families listen to these stories together. Mm-hmm. But Kirk said, I think, he goes, none of my other kids, and, the Camerons have adopted a lot of kids, and they have their own, but right. They've got a big family. He goes, none of my kids are interested in show business. None of them, have anything even like my experience in Growing Pains or anything. And so, but my son James loves your stories and wants to be in one. And I said, wow, let's do it. And so if you go watch the trailer for With Wayne Virginia, you'll see Kirk and James working together behind scenes, and Kirk is so happy to be there with his son James, and they're pounding this out in the studio and trying to get their lines right. Kirk's helping with his acting career, and so that was a lot of fun and really interesting, just to watch a dad and his son. And I would also say about Kirk Cameron that a lot of show business people aren't what you think that they are, but Kirk is the real deal. And he lives his life that way. Kirk wants to teach. He's an evangelist. He's a lot of things. And so I think the world of Kirk Cameron, and I'm really glad he was involved in that production with his son. And I might say this, one of the things that got me interested, that perked me, this was a little bit like the previous one with the Disney thing, right? One of my conversations with Kirk was telling me this story that he said they were driving someplace. When they got back to the house, he and James were driving back to his house, and they pull into the driveway, and I've been at Kirk's house, and so I live in this located area, and pull up to the house, and Kirk doesn't, or James, Kirk gets out. James doesn't want to get out. He still wants to finish listening to the story. So he's sitting there out in the driveway listening to the end of our story about Francis Drake. And that made Kirk a believer too, because, you could put out stuff. Another important point for parents that they should know, you can put out materials that are educational. They may improve literacy and fluency and vocabulary and all those things. But if your kids don't want to listen to them, then that's another problem. So we tried to make the stories exciting, and I think James's little, anecdotal story there kind of is the tale of the tape. We get a lot of parents that tell us, I took my kids to soccer, but they didn't want to get out of the van, that kind of thing.
Which is great.
Those are great, yeah.
You've gotten all kinds of, outstanding production awards and that kind of thing. So, parents can go to familyaudioadventures.com and check those out. But what have you done so far? I know that this one particular site has the four audio set, but you have more than that. But let's just start with these four. So, tell us about them, and then you've got more audios, and they'll want to know about that as well.
Yeah, the first one we did was because it was my son Nick's favorite book, and it's under Drake's flag, and it's an amazing story about Sir Francis Drake, and his dad was a pastor, and just how he grew up, and the stuff that he went through in his life, and how he was able to say no to being a slaver. His cousin John Hawkins was a slaver, and Drake was able to kind of, you know, say no to that because of his dad's preaching, I think, just, you know, live in a little different world. And that was our first production, and it was a lot of fun, and then we decided to do the next one, which was about William Wallace. We call that, that was called In Freedom's Cause, and that's the one, as you mentioned, we've won a lot of awards for it, the Academy Awards. You know, they have Oscars and stuff. We won, we were nominated for, oh gosh, 10 awards, I think, and we won 4 or 5. And this is in secular competition. You got to realize the people that we're competing with here are these small companies like I talked to, like Audible and Blackstone and Pixar and Disney. Mm. So and we're kind of a garage company. So In Freedom's Cause was our second one. That's the one that you know, Joanne Froggetson and Jimmy Cosmo and lots of great folks. And then with Lee in Virginia, the story about the Civil War, story of you know, what's the Bible say about racial reconciliation? What's the Bible say about warfare? What's the Bible say about all this stuff? And we've got a wonderful story there with an amazing ending, we think, that's right out of Scripture. And the last one that's on before that you mentioned is The Dragon and the Raven, and that's a story of King Alfred, and the story of how King Alfred was able to push the Vikings back out of England after all the other kings. I think there were 6 or 7 kings in England. They all ran or were killed because the Vikings were fierce. And you can find out just how a man like King Alfred, even when he defeated his enemies, how he didn't slaughter his enemies, how he was gracious in handling the defeat of his enemies. And just the story of how he handled Guthrum and the other Vikings after their defeat is enough to warm your heart, because this is a tough time for Christendom, and Alfred sets an example. I'll tell you something else kind of cool, Felice, that most people don't know. You know, you live right now, wherever you're at, I'm in a county. I sit in a county. County government is the basis for government in our country, and you're sitting in a county, and the author of county government is Alfred. After he pushed the Vikings back out, he said, how can we centralize government and make myself more powerful, being a Christian man? He said, how can I decentralize government? How can I push these decisions back into these local parishes or these local counties? And so we owe so much to Alfred, and he's such a great example of how to have courage and then what to do when you've won and your enemy's at your mercy. What do you do? Well, I'll leave you in suspense. You've got to listen to the story to find out what he did.
And then as a homeschool mom, my favorite is that, you know, you've got vocabulary and parental interaction questions that the family can download from your site. Is that correct?
We do. We're very interested in vocabulary, and I think the case has been made by the audio industry in general, not just us, but by listening to stories like this, that you can increase IQ. But that IQ would be your vocabulary IQ, your fluency, that portion of the brain that has a lot to do with just how your brain is hardwired for language. That by listening more, watching less, listening more, you can actually increase your fluency and your vocab. And we put a lot of words in the stories that we think are great words that can be gone. Some of them are historic words, some of them are contemporary words that just need to be understood. We're going to, in terms of being able to know words, I'll tell you what's happened to our culture too. I think I read someplace that Americans, that we're losing our vocabulary at 1 or 2% a year. It used to be quite high during the colonial period. I think I've heard that the average the vocabulary was closer to 100,000 words. Now, that's a lot. That's a big vocabulary. But you're talking about people like John Adams. You're talking about people like Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson and people like that. Today, you're hard-pressed. If you go to some inner cities, you're hard-pressed to find vocabularies with 5,000 words. So If you want to know, people say, well, whatever happened to our country? Well, part of it is we've lost our words.
Right.
We've lost our words. We've lost our language. And so we're very conscious. Like I said, we love to put words in there that parents can go back and quiz their kids on, important words. And also more the moral side of this, we have little questions in there that at key points we can say, so you're taking the family on a trip, and you can go pull over if you're on your way to on the roadside stop. You can bring up these questions that we had, and the questions give you an opportunity to really delve into some things that maybe parents wouldn't delve into on their own. Homeschool
right.
parents are a little different, but we try to create opportunities
That's
for
wonderful.
Interaction.
That's wonderful. And you've got more in the works. So I'm actually holding one of the CDs that is out now. But tell us so I have Barrack the Briton. That's the extra that's not in the 4 CD set that's on the site. So they can purchase this one. Is that correct? Or is that to be purchased?
They can. You can go to the Barrack the Briton. com and watch the trailer and pick that up. And let me tell you what the overarching plan is. We talk about Barrack the Briton too. Our overarching plan is to do 4 of these a year and to create a club or membership situation where people can just have these delivered to them, both the digital version as well as the CDs if they want them, and just put it on autopilot. And that's in the works. So we've got a very vigorous production schedule. Barrack the Briton is already out. It was released earlier in the summer. It's an amazing story about, if I think a lot of listeners may be familiar with Russell Crowe in Gladiator. Well, what we did is we found a Henke story that was very much like that. This is a Christian gladiator. So the Roman monolithic army marches into Britain. This was during the era where Celtic life is very tribal and where you have a lot of pagan, a lot of darkness, and yet it's clashing with this big, powerful, monolithic entity, which is Rome. And inside that clash is what the story is all about. This young man gets taken back to Rome. They make a gladiator out of him. He becomes a Christian later, and his story is a remarkable story. It's probably one of the best stories we've done. And it's got some great people in it. Brian Bless is in it. He's our Henty narrator. But Kathy Sarah's in it from Downton Abbey, and we love Kathy. John Rhys Davies, that most people know from Lord of the Rings, Indiana Jones, and Tom Baker, who played Doctor Who, was in it during the 70s. And Tom's a great actor. And then there's a new Bourne movie out. People are probably familiar with that. Came out in the summer. Brian Cox from The Bourne Identity and for Braveheart. He's in this. Brian's a bad guy. He was a bad guy in The Bourne Identity.
Yes, he was.
He's a bad guy. He plays Nero. He plays Nero. So think about that, right?
Perfect.
He's the bad guy.
He has that perfect voice for that, too. Yeah, my son was very impressed. He's 16, and he's my youngest. And when this came, of course, we were leaving, and he was ready to break into him. And I said, I'm doing an interview, do not mess up the evidence. And this is one of the first ones that he listened to. And when I got home, and actually we were talking about it today at lunch before the interview, and he's like, do you know all these people? And he was talking. He was very impressed by the lineup and how good they were. And then he's read the Henty book. So you really had – a tough audience there because we always say, the movie's never as good as the book. And then this was like one of those, is the audio going to be as good? And, the first thing you're going to think is it can't be. And he said, it really brought it to life and he loved it because it's been some years since he read all the Henty. Of course, they're in a prize collection. My husband's a builder, so he has built shelves in their rooms, and it's like at the very top of, if you can picture it over the window, there's a bookshelf, and that's where his Henty collection lies because my grandchildren, his nieces and nephews, which, when you're 16, they're not allowed to touch some of his stuff, so the prize gets put up high. And so he loved it. And so, that's really a lot coming from a 16-year-old, that has read the books, And that was so funny because that was one of his favorites. He liked the other ones as well. And they were all intact, so that was good.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so great. You've got four coming up, which is good to know because, you know, I've got, like I said, Mike's my youngest, but I have grandchildren that I spoil and have purchased a lot of good material for them, like all of the just went out of my mind, but the Narnia series. That actually was on CD some years ago. And my son-in-law thanked me for that because he was tired of listening to the other series that they had listened to that was a little bit more, you know, short and that kind of thing. And, I mean, he has thanked me over and over again. So when he sees these and the minute you get that subscription thing in place, I know I've worked with Sarah, who's handling a lot of the media stuff for you. I will let her know that I want to know. And I'm sure you have a mailing list, right, that people can get on and will be able to keep up with what's going on with
what you're
offering. Good.
Let me tell you real quickly. The membership thing's going, and so what we do is we've got this set of four, and then what we'll ask people when they go to the site is, the question is, would you like to keep this coming? Because one thing that I'll say, and this isn't not a plea for money. I'm not a televangelist or anything, but it's the more people I can get to sign up and say, kind of basically saying yes to what we're doing, the more readily and the easier it is for me just to continue on. So we've got a lot of great stuff in the works, and if we have a lot of people that just say, you know what, Bill, send me one four times a year and all the goodies and bonuses, and keep them coming. I'll tell you about our new one. Our new one is called the Cataboo Basties. That's coming out shortly. And that's got Anthony Daniels in it. You know, Anthony Daniels, people like Star Wars. Anthony Daniels is C-3PO in Star Wars. And are you ready for this? He plays an Egyptian priest in this cult of cats. And this is during the time of – this is during Moses' time. So, well, this is not as Christian and moral lessons as the other ones. We definitely have a lot of those moral lessons in it, but we want to show people what it's like, what it would be like to live in a world where there was a cult of cats, and he's a priest, and he is so good, and it's so much fun. And that website will be up shortly for people to take a gander at, too, behind the scenes.
So that's great. So if you go to familyaudioadventures.com, I'm sure you can get on their mailing list and make sure that you subscribe. And it does help. It really does help to bring in quality productions. And especially these days, I tell you what, it is so difficult to find anything that we're willing to let our kids listen to. We're not a big TV family as my kids have gotten older. It's harder for me to, have a lot of say because most at this point, like I said, my youngest is 16 and the next one up is 18 and then 21 and then it goes on from there, but it is so delightful for me to get this set and to be so excited about it. And, you pass the 16-year-old test, which I way to go, Bill, because that's a hard one, especially when they've read the book. If you hadn't read the book, maybe you had more of a chance, but you passed with flying colors. So that is so great. And it's important for Christian families to have this great family entertainment available to them. And also hearing about your subscription coming up is wonderful that you have that. So parents, can hear about it as well as, letting grandma know and grandpa if it's something, because that's what I say to my kids, my daughter, I say, what is it that the kids need? And she'll always say they don't need anything. But the one thing I will tell you about audios is that there's always room for this. Toys, not so much, but this is something that's going to last. And it's great to hear that you also have them available on digital, because we can always bring our phones with us, right? And have that available. So any last words you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I think it's a great time, really. I think Felice, there's probably never been a better time for us as parents and grandparents to really be very self-conscious about how we're raising our kids and to try to give a kid, all of our kids, really, just a glimpse into the past to see what God has done in time and space, who he sent before us to help us, what life lessons can we learn from these other people, and just good old-fashioned storytelling. That's what we're trying to do, and we're trying to do it in a way that not only the child but the adult who's ever listening is able to just create these mental images, these very sticky, powerful mental images in their brain, increasing their critical thought, you know, giving them great heroes and people that they can look at as role models. I mean, if you want, LeBron James is a great basketball player, but I wouldn't, if I was raising my child, I'd want my son to be like Robert E. Lee, Booker T. Washington, or King Alfred, or George Washington Carver. I'm going to pick who I want my son or daughter to model and to role model after. And I think it's time to become more self-conscious, because as the culture turns, and it's turning, we all know it, that's why we're homeschoolers, as it turns, it will continue to seep further and further into your life. And like that frog that's in that pan of water that's getting warmer and warmer and warmer, at times you won't feel it or notice it, but know this, it's there. And we're called by God to be able to make distinctions about what it is that goes into our kids' heads. And I think that's the important thing for people to do, is just be bold, be humbly bold about those distinctions and about the decisions that you make to protect your child and to really give your child the kind of upbringing that there's no second chance on, right? And one of my friends has got a daycare center, and he always talks about the fact that it's not a dress rehearsal. You know, when he does his marketing, he says, this isn't a dress rehearsal. This is real stuff, and you don't get a second chance. My wife used to run a nursing home, and her grandmother owned that. And if you want to go listen to the laments that are those who are older than you and I, but certainly people like you and I are facing older age, the laments in nursing homes really tell the tale of the tape. They weren't people, I wish I'd have spent more time in the office. I wish I would have got that P&L in earlier. I wish I'd have gotten this done and that done. It's always family related. Always, 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 always. And yeah. Are you giving your kids and your grandkids the best? And it's not about money. It's not about money. It's about ideas.
And these audios are very reasonably priced. You know, I had a thought in my head when I went to the website, and I was, you know, very pleasantly surprised. I mean, you have not priced this out of affordability, and especially for the amount of hours. Each one of these CDs has 2.5 hours of audio on here, and, you know, that's a ton of not only production work on your part, but that is a lot of time for our families, you know, to sit. And, you know, taking that family trip with my daughter in Maryland, we don't try to hit 17 hours in one day. This mom likes to stop and eat at a nice restaurant and not fast food. I boycott. My dad owned a restaurant growing up, so, and it was,
sure.
It was a nice Italian restaurant. So I didn't even eat a fast food hamburger until I was 18. And then I was like, are you people kidding me? This is not food. same thing with like peanut butter and things like that. Some people would say I had a deprived life, and others would say, no, you know what good food is. So, you know, when we travel, I like to stop and everything. And so a series like this would be a godsend, because it would be something that would be not only entertaining, but educational for the kids. And what more can you ask for to get both of those things? And also, you know, you are really delving into history in such a great way. And as homeschool moms, my husband used to always say to me, are we ever going to get out of Egypt? Because I loved ancient history so much. And I'd be reading these books in the car, and my throat would hurt. I think one time I even got one of those little audio, you know, boosters, one of those little things you get the kids, and then think, why did I want to amplify their voice? Just so the kids could hear me in the back seat, you know? And now, where were you when my kids were little? Oh gosh, you know, you had to wait to get hit by the, you know, chased by the moose, I guess. So, But what a wonderful blessing for families, and I'm just excited, as you know, to bring this to my audience on Vintage Homeschool Mom. So, Bill, thank you so much for not only giving of your time and coming on and sharing with us what you are doing, but also being a sponsor of the network and Vintage Homeschool Moms.
Hey, thank you so much. And please, we brought this in with prayer. Could I take this out with a prayer? And I'll tell
Absolutely.
You what's so special and amazing about this prayer. Our first story that we did, I mentioned to you, it was about Sir Francis Drake. And Drake, at the time of his life, he lived during Queen Elizabeth's time, and at the time of his life, he was the most famous person on the planet. Michael Jordan was probably the most famous person on the planet at the time. You know, years ago, people always remember Michael. This guy was the Michael Jordan of his era. People would come out, he'd land at Plymouth and move up towards, go up north because that's where he lived. He'd take all of the plunder and money and everything that the queen had hired him to do. He'd take it up to the queen, and people would come out and just try to touch him. And they thought Drake, there was something amazing about Drake. The Spanish who he was in conflict with were definitely afraid of him. He sailed by Lisbon one time, and they evacuated. He had like three or four boats. They evacuated a city of 75,000 people just because he sailed by. It's amazing.
Wow.
Let's close this with a prayer that is his prayer. And so people want to say, okay, what kind of role models are you giving my kids? Okay, here's one. This is from our very first story. This is in the story of Sir Francis Drake, but this is the story that will close with Francis Drake's prayer. Drake says this in prayer. Disturb us, Lord, when we're too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we've dreamed too little, when we've arrived safely because we've sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we've lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we've ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we've allowed our vision of heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wilder seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hope and to push back the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. This we ask in the name of our captain, who is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you again, Bill. God bless.
Thank you, Felice. Bye now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.